Hey everybody, and welcome to the third of our Euros 2020 SoccerCast podcasts. My name's Bina 007, and I'm joined by...
Hi, this is Bing. Mostly just Bing these days. I watched you shine a long time ago, I guess.
Okay, we're without Noah today, but hopefully he'll join us for another episode just as we get to the quarterfinals. So the way we're going to do it is we're going to quickly run through the final group tallies to see whether our predictions were right and any upsets. And then we'll run through the forthcoming round of 16 matches and give some predictions there. So let's get into Group A, which ended up Italy first, Wales second, Switzerland third, and Turkey fourth. And I suppose no surprises Italy won, but I was kind of semi-surprised Wales ended up above Switzerland, maybe. And also we'd gone big on Turkey, which was a big failure. So any comments on that group?
Yeah, so I mean, Italy played really well. I mentioned in the midway podcast with Noah that I kind of want to see Italy against better opposition, because I don't think any of those three other teams were any match for Italy at all. So I kind of want to see how they actually fare against a bigger profile team like Belgium or Portugal, which they may face in the quarterfinals. Italy played really well. This was a team that didn't even qualify for the World Cup. So that was why I was hesitant coming into this tournament regarding them. But I think Mancini coached them really well. And they play really fun, attractive football, which you usually don't say about Italy.
Is Mancini the best coach in the tournament?
He might be one of them.
And you
sort of have to understand that at international level, you don't get as good coaches as you get in the club level. You don't get a Pep or even a Mourinho coaching the international side. They just pay too much at a club level to ever even consider that option, unless they're... career goes off kilter a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Gareth Southgate wouldn't be coaching a premiership club, right?
So Gareth Southgate coached a championship team into relegation.
Says it all, doesn't it? Oh, dear. Okay, so that was good. So Group B, Belgium at the top, which we predicted, Denmark, then Finland, then Russia, which I think also was probably our prediction. Any surprises there?
No surprises, but only how we got there. Denmark was started the last match day at the bottom, but then they played one of the games of the tournament in the destruction of Russia.
That was fun.
I think Denmark is becoming like a lot of people's favorite teams, considering what happened in the first game with Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
The other two teams were, Finland, they're plucky, they're kind of fun. But they won against Denmark because of the Eriksen situation, which, fair play to them, they that's not their fault. That's UEFA.
Yeah, and they said that, right? I mean, they were very humble about it. So, absolutely.
But in terms of quality, they won a match against any of the other teams. And Russia was just defensively a chaotic. Denmark fully deserved to go through. Belgium are obviously the best team in that group.
For sure. I think Group C is almost not necessarily more interesting, because I think we would have predicted Netherlands to come top, and then Austria, Ukraine, North Macedonia. But I think Austria has maybe surprised a little bit on the upside, as have maybe Netherlands. I mean, some of these matches were quite sort of, big victories. Putting a lot of goals away against quite weak opposition.
Yeah, the problem is I don't think any of these teams in Group C are good.
Yeah.
And Netherlands just happens to be the best of the bunch. They were able to, so against the Ukraine, against the, in the first game against Ukraine, they weren't very convincing to me. Ukraine came back from 2-0 down to tie them up, and then they conceded a goal immediately after that. Their best game, I think, was against Austria. That was a good game for them. North Macedonia, their last game against North Macedonia was not a game. It was a testimonial for North Macedonia's Goran Pandev. It wasn't a real game. So I don't even know what we can, how we should even consider that result. I think that Netherlands, I think despite their coach, are playing some sort of fun attacking football, at least against these weaker oppositions. But that's another team that I'd really want to see against a better team.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. They're in that Italy situation.
Yeah, fully engage them. And I think Italy are still like several knots better than the Netherlands.
Yeah, 100%. And far better coached. Okay, so On to Group D, the home nations group. England somehow managed to end up on top in what should have been a fairly straightforward group. Croatia, Czech Republic, Scotland is probably the order we would have picked. And yet Scotland did manage to get a point off England, which is just phenomenal. And England have come out in every match and been good for 15 minutes and then basically quite lackluster. So, I mean... not a particularly inspiring bit of a performance there from the home team.
Very boring. But no goals conceded. Maybe this is what Gareth Southgate wanted. I think, in fact, that is indeed what Gareth Southgate wanted. We'll see how this approach works again going forward. It could very well be that against better oppositions, England might even be better. Who knows?
If you look at the sort of the top ranked strikers, like the most expensive strikers, if you were playing fantasy, has Harry Kane been the most disappointing in that bracket?
Sure. Although I think, again, I think the scrutiny on Kane might be a little bit excessive because I think this is not a Kane problem as much as it's an entire England team problem.
Mm.
I hesitate to even call it a problem because I think this is the intended result of what Southgate wanted. He wanted to basically score a goal and then shut everything down.
So it's basically more about the manager than the team. Well, the only nice thing was Scotland very kindly gave us a COVID scare in the squad, so Mason Mount couldn't play, which gave a game to the only Arsenal man in squad, Bukayo Saka, who it was lovely to see him get a run around.
Would be interested in if Southgate actually keeps Saka in the team, or let's say player Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, Saka played well.
Saka played well. I think he was the man of the match for that game, right?
Yeah.
Grealish also played really well. But I don't know if either of these close players, Southgate is starting either of those players.
Yeah.
So that's a problem or not. I don't know.
All right. Well, then on to Group E, which ended up Sweden, Spain, Slovakia, Poland. I can't remember what we said about this one, but I think I might have expected Spain above Sweden.
Yeah.
You had a lot more close matches and draws. This was one of the ones, apart from like Spain raffle stomping Slovakia 5-0. A lot of them were draws. I mean, Spain drawing 1-1 against Poland was shocking to me. Spain drawing 0-0 to Sweden also actually relatively surprising.
I suppose.
So I feel Spain has been what we expected, right? All the possession, none of the goals, and it's just been very disappointing.
Right, and they took them to a ridiculous level in the first two group games. They had 85% possession against Sweden.
Yeah,
And couldn't score a single goal.
They were kind of like the caricature of how England were playing, right? Without the first goal. So.
Well, Spain does it in a very different way, right? Because they just sort of pass it around horizontally without really getting forward. That was their game against Sweden. Against Poland, I feel like they added a bit more punch. The problem is they just can't finish for the life of them. Mm-hmm. And I think Slovakia kind of opened the floodgates for them after one of the most stupid own goals I've ever seen in any
matches. That was brilliant.
But when Martin Dubravka decided to volleyball spike the ball into his own goal. And I think Slovakia after that own goal just sort of gave up and allowed Spain to.
Yeah, but then they did manage to manufacture another own goal like pretty much 35 minutes later.
at which point like Slovakia was not even playing anymore, and they kind of just did whatever they want.
And yet they still finished above Poland. So there you go.
So I expected more from Poland. I shouldn't have ever expected any more from Poland. I was wrong. Yeah. They have Robin Lewandowski, the best striker in the world, but the rest of their team is very, very bland.
I still feel that Poland and Turkey both played under where they should have played.
Yeah, no, I think Turkey definitely. I don't think Turkey didn't even show up. Poland at least showed a pulse in their last game and tried to attack Sweden, actually forced Sweden for the first time to actually, well, first of all, concede goals, but tried to sort of break their fully defensive formation to add a little bit of attacking flair. I think Sweden, people always sort of play down Sweden. I mean, for good reason, because they are usually very, very boring. But they could be a little bit even feistier. Like they made the quarterfinals in the last World Cup. And I think they have even better players this time.
I think we got rid of Sweden in the last World Cup, didn't we?
Yeah. And I think if England run into Sweden again, which they might actually this time, but once again in the quarterfinals, I think. I need to check the schedule, but I think Sweden might be even tougher.
Yeah. Underestimated at their peril, the Swedes. Yeah. Okie dokie, then we get to the final group, which arguably was the most interesting group F, which ended up with France on top, not surprisingly, but only with 5 points. And then Germany second on 4 points, then Portugal on four. So I guess I would have put Portugal ahead of Germany, and then obviously Hungary at the bottom. But some really surprising results here. I mean, some interesting ruffle stomps, Portugal beating Hungary 3-0. But France only drawing with Hungary 1-1, that was surprising to me. Germany beating Portugal 4-2. Germany only drawing with Hungary 2-2. And then Portugal-France 2-2, I guess, is less surprising, although I would have thought France would have won. So kind of the hardest group, and certainly some really interesting close results or ties. I definitely did not think Germany would be so. I mean, I've got a lot of German friends in one of my fantasy leagues, and they were all like genuinely surprised at how well Germany played on occasion. And because they've ended up second, it means England's going to play them in the round of 16, which could be very spicy.
Yeah, we can talk about that in a bit. But
yeah,
I think in the group, the only really surprising thing was how well Hungary played. Hungary gave it to all three of those. In the Portugal game, it's 3-0, but it was 0-0 until the 80th minute. And I think that was sort of what Hungary's only downfall, in that they couldn't keep everything up for the full 90. And then they sort of all like fell apart towards the end. But like for like 60 to 80 minutes, Hungary were right up there with those, the big boys. They were challenging all these other teams and scoring some pretty gutsy goals. Hungary were almost through until the 80th minute against Germany. They were winning against Germany.
Yeah.
But I think the other teams, I mean, the other three teams are, in terms of the quality, they're so close together that honestly, I mean, sure, you can say that it's kind of surprising here and there, but the fact that they sort of all beat each other up is not, that's ultimately not that surprising. And I don't know, I don't think the order that they ended up is too surprising either. And really, like, Germany's only ahead of Portugal because they beat them. They ended up with the same amount of points and the exact same goal difference. France is going to be like this. And they haven't really, they haven't kicked into high gear yet, but
yeah.
I think that they just, they're honestly, in terms of the talent, once you get past the group stages, we'll probably see a stronger and stronger France as we go on, as we saw in the World Cup.
Yeah, France and Italy also. I mean, they've got some form, haven't they, of just not really performing until they get out of the group. So I think we'll have a much better idea once we've seen this round of 16 set of matches. So maybe just to end up on the group stages, biggest outperformer and biggest underperformer. I mean, underperformer for me is Turkey. Biggest outperformer, maybe Netherlands, I guess. I don't know. How about for you, Bing?
Underperformer, yeah, Turkey. Turkey was just dire. There's just nothing, no other word for it. It was just, no, there's nothing good out of that, any of those Turkey games. And now they honestly have the players. Like, it's not just like us, me and Noah and Yubina saying that Turkey might do better. A lot of big analysts were predicting that Turkey as a dark horse. They did nothing. I think biggest overperformer, maybe Wales.
Oh yeah.
I expected, actually Hungary. Yeah. I know Hungary didn't make it, but in terms of their performance against all three teams that are frankly all have won many Euros between them, they performed really well.
Cool. Okay, well let's go into the round of 16, and I've got the draw, so we'll do it in the order of the draw, which is not necessarily the order in which the matches are being played. So top of the draw in Seville, we have Belgium playing Portugal, which could be very spicy. I'm assuming, we assume Belgium wins that, but it'll be a challenging game.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know if I would necessarily predict Belgium to immediately. I mean, I think they should be favored, but I don't know if they're necessarily, I mean, you underestimate Ronaldo at your peril.
Absolutely. It could go either way, right? I mean,
And it's not just Ronaldo. I think Portugal, I mean, and this Portugal team has, they were seen as put a potential, a possible contender for a reason. They have a lot more talent than just Ronaldo than 2016. And they won the whole thing in 2016.
I mean, to me, this is the game of the round of 16. It's the tightest. It's the most interesting. There's the most talent on the pitch. I think this is going to be really, really good football.
Probably. Hopefully. I think if Belgium scores first, that will make the game probably the most exciting. The problem with Portugal is that their coach, Fernando Santos, leans defensively all the time. It's why they played two defensive midfielders in the first two games, which got exploited hard by Germany. Santos made some changes in the third game, which I hope that he keeps for this game, because they play much better against France. But I'm not sure. And if he defaults back to his more defensive mentality, well, then we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's going to be juicy. That's, I believe that is tomorrow, so that's going to be quite a tasty game. The one that's later today, which I think is going to be really interesting. Actually, I don't think it's going to be really interesting, but it's in London. It's at Wembley. Is Italy-Austria, which I'm assuming Italy wins. But who knows? I mean, Austria is quite plucky. But Italy, that to me should be much, much easier as an outcome, I would have thought.
I would think so, yeah. I definitely would favor Italy. I mean, Austria, they're not nobody, but they showed very little cutting edge. And they have some talent, but I don't think it's enough to beat this Italy team this in form.
There's also a lot more Italians in England than Austrians, so the crowd, given that travel restrictions, it should look like a home crowd for Italy rather than Austria.
Maybe. Although honestly, the home, I'm not really sure how this home advantage thing actually works. It didn't help England that much.
Yeah, but it sets us up for a brilliant quarterfinal, because Italy versus either Portugal or Belgium, I think, would be a phenomenal match. And right. It will, however, be the only time that Italy's been truly tested, whereas yeah. Belgium or Portugal, both of them will have been tested by then. So I think that could be quite interesting. Okay, so going further down the draw, the next pairing, you've got France versus Switzerland being played in Bucharest, which I assume will just be a ruffle stomp for France.
I don't think ruffle stomp. I think 1-0. No, France victory. 1-2.
I mean, it would be an upset if Switzerland won, let's be fair.
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely. I don't think Switzerland can win that game. Well, maybe I don't know. I really don't think so. The Switzerland's best players sort of showed up in their very last game. Well, they did show up for the very last game against Turkey.
Shaqiri just starting to turn up,
Shaqiri finally turned up. I mean, this is still a guy who warms Liverpool's benches against Kylian Mbappe, Antoine Griezmann, N'Golo Kante, and all of that. So I think France is way more.
That's why it should be more than 1-0. I mean, it should be 2-0.
No, but the problem is Deschamps doesn't play like that. Deschamps' France very rarely ruffle stumps anybody. That's not in their DNA.
So interestingly, this draw is all on the same day. So on the 28th of June, you've got France, Switzerland. You've also got Croatia, Spain, which I think could be really interesting because they're both can be good but also flawed. And I find that one very hard to call. That's being played in Copenhagen. So again, neither at home. Right. Ooh, which way would I almost feel that could go to penalties, honestly. I can see that being nil all at the end. And
if it goes to penalty, that's really bad for Spain because they've already missed two penalties.
Yeah.
Croatia. I mean, right now I'm leaning towards Spain. Croatia, I mean, they their best players finally showed up to beat up on Scotland. But going from Scotland to Spain is very different. Luka Modric, 36-year-old.
But class, right?
Fair play to him.
Older, yeah. But class and Perisic. They've got good players. I mean, Croatia's.
Of course. They made the World Cup final for a reason in 2018, even though a lot of those players, some of those players have retired. They definitely can explain. So the problem is, the last game that Spain play, is that actually indicative of them actually finally sort of just at the very least gaining some confidence in front of a goal? Because honestly, I don't think they played badly at any of these games so far in the group
stages. They haven't managed to score a goal, right? I mean,
even against Sweden and Poland, some of those, like, they get very close to finishing, and Alvaro Morata just can't finish. He has one goal. If Spain needs to score.
Yeah, they need to, and if they score, they should. I think on balance, they probably are better than Croatia, but it's going to be interesting to see who goes through.
And then also, like, a lot of these Croatian players are also very familiar with Spain. Modric has played most of his career now at Real Madrid, and being the best player at Real Madrid Kovacic played a lot of his career in Spain with Modric. A lot of these, Croatia is a very experienced team that knows how to, and by this point, knows tournament football.
Yeah, they know tournament football. If anything goes to penalties, you'd back them. They're going to have cooler heads. So you're going to end up with an interesting quarterfinal in St. Petersburg, that well-known footballing mecca of France, presumably, against Croatia, Spain, which I think leads to a very tight quarterfinal, which I would expect France to win against either of those two. But it'll be really interesting and another great quarterfinal, I feel.
Yeah, I really do want to see this Spain side against France. This is a very young and inexperienced Spain team. And you do see sort of in the last game also one important thing that was different about that Spanish team was that they put finally allowed to put Sergio Busquets into that into that team.
Yeah.
One of the older senior players who was part of that generation have won all the World Cups in Europe.
Also the player that inspired Noah's fantasy team name, T and Busquets.
Really? Oh, really? Yeah, nice. Again, I don't know that because I don't play fantasy, but Busquets had been out due to COVID. It is a factor in this thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And his return has definitely made Spain a lot better. So again, I'm interested to see the Spanish team how they fare against France.
You may well get your wish. Okay, so going down to the next bracket, which will all be played on the 29th of June. So you start off with, in Glasgow, Sweden versus Ukraine, which I'm assuming Sweden wins handily.
Yeah. I don't know about handily. Again, you saw mostly how Sweden plays.
Ukraine, that's more a comment on Ukraine than Sweden, in fairness.
And it's also just mostly just Sweden's. I mean, it's, I guess, but Sweden's tactics doesn't, again, it's the same thing.
It's going to be a fairly dull. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the game of the tournament. Like, if you look at the round of 16, you've got Belgium, Portugal would be amazing. Croatia, Spain, I think, quite interesting. Sweden, Ukraine is not going to be an interesting match, I don't think.
1-0.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be. No, I think Sweden just have just enough cutting edge to be able to win that game.
I think so.
Yeah, especially if they play Kulusevski, which sort of changed the dynamic in that Poland game. They actually add him into that team. And that's it. Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible for me to see Ukraine win it. I mean, just
no, but I mean, I just I find it hard to get excited about either of those two teams.
Not really.
They will be playing if they get through to the quarterfinal. One of them also playing that same day, 29th of June, in London at Wembley. England, Germany, which is I think as soon as England realised they'd be playing Germany, we were basically all of my friends who are England supporters were like, oh shit, we're just going to get out on penalties, aren't we? I mean, that's just how it always goes down. There is we should be a stronger side, but there is no faith whatsoever in this country that we beat Germany.
Well, okay. So do we want to actually go into this a little bit more than the other games, I guess?
Well, this is the spiciest match of the round of 16, I feel, for historic footballing reasons.
Sure. So I'm trying to, right now what I'm looking up is like historical matchups between England and Germany.
They always beat us. We beat them once in 1966. They always knock us out of tournaments and typically on penalties.
I don't know typically on penalties. I think the only sort of, I think the reason why a lot of people think typically on penalties is because the two big tournaments that England had got far in, which was World Cup 1990 and Euro 1996, Germany beat England on penalties.
But it doesn't matter if statistically that's not the way we go at them. The point is that it's so freighted in our national consciousness.
The point I was trying to make is that
and also in the, that of the players. And you look at our big football anthem, Three Lions. I mean, that is all about the years of hurt from Germany, basically.
Sure. I think the main problem, I think, for the matchup is historically Germany's games against England is much more the variety of World Cup 2010, which Germany won 4-1.
Yeah.
So to analyze this away from the history aspect, I think history matters, but it shouldn't matter that much. I always tend to probably err on the side of not of overlooking it. Over these are different players from those generations. Sure, Southgate was one of the people who missed the penalty in that.
Gareth Southgate. I mean, I don't think you can underestimate the generational PTSD.
I guess. But like a lot of these, some of these players like Jadon Sancho, like Phil Foden, they weren't even born when that game happened.
But every single press interview they do asks them about it and shows the clip.
Which is,
I mean,
again,
that's honestly why I would play people like Saka, because I don't think he gives a shit.
And he also was born after that game was played.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So that's the thing. Like, I feel like the English media and some of the English public make this to be a much bigger deal than what it actually is. And what it actually is two very, very flawed teams matching up against each other.
Who do you think will win?
Okay, so let me break this down a little bit more. England on one side is very, very tactically stable in the sense that almost to a fault.
Yeah.
They have been incredibly boring and incredibly defensive, but they've gotten results. They only scored two goals, but they've conceded none. Three clean sheets throughout the entire group. Germany, chaos. they play a formation that they've never played going into this tournament. One that puts several of their best players in the wrong positions that they're very, very unfamiliar with. They put, and they're not unfamiliar with, but probably not the best at. Joshua Kimmich should be their best central midfielder. He's playing at right wing back.
I know, which is when I picked him for my fantasy team, I didn't realize they were going to not play him in the best position. So.
Unfortunately, your fantasy team, whatever aggregator, did not could not read the crazy mind of Joachim Löw. Serge Gnabry is playing as a false nine. Kai Havertz is playing as some sort of a hybrid between a winger and a forward. The problem with Löw is that after that World Cup failure in 2018, I have to remind you guys that Germany team lost to South Korea and Mexico.
No offense to South Korea or Mexico.
No, but like the England should consider themselves to be better than those teams, right? And that was after that tournament, Joachim Löw have been almost completely sort of blinded by how can I rebuild Germany?
Do you think Löw's going to play the same formation in the round of 16? Or do you think he'll revert to something more conventional?
I think at this point, he just doesn't give a fuck.
Because he's out. He's out after this.
Yeah, he's out after this. I think he's going, I guess he's going to stick to his weird 3-4-3/352, or I don't know what that is. I mean, the problem was Jogi Löw forced Thomas Müller and Mats Hummels into international retirement in 2018. But the Germany were playing so bad that they lost 6-0 to Spain last year. They lost 2-1 to North Macedonia in a World Cup qualifier. And because of all that, he was forced to bring in Thomas Müller and Mats Hummels back from retirement. And he had no time to actually, you know, find the best tactics with this new team. So you sort of just have to play it as it goes. It's a mess. The problem is, okay, so England needs to realize that there are huge weaknesses in this German team and not play scared as an important. But that's a problem because England has kind of been playing scared this entire tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be a big turnaround, right? I mean, I don't know. I think we'll know something about their attitude depending on whether they pick Saka or not, because picking Saka is picking someone who's young, not scared,
sure,
and up for it.
Or if not,
so it's not a defensive choice.
Or if not Saka.
So that will tell you something. Yeah, that will tell you something of Southgate's mentality.
Or if not Saka, at least, or not Saka, maybe even better is Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
been playing in Germany all his professional career,
knows them well, and has been had the season of his life. Right? I mean,
he scored 20 goals and 15 assists last season for Borussia Dortmund. Nobody in Germany understands why this guy is not starting for England.
I wonder if it's weather because of COVID and just in general, people haven't seen him. I wonder if people in the England setup, like coaches, managers, haven't seen him.
Dortmund was playing the Champions League. The guy pretty far in the Champions League.
Yeah,
and,
true.
And like, you don't need to go to Germany to watch Dortmund on TV.
True.
And like, you shouldn't, and 20 goals is not like 10 goals and kind of really good performances that goes up there under radar. 20 goals and 15 assists scream out at you for something, right?
Okay, so if I had to force you to make a prediction, what's your match line prediction?
England.
1-0?
2-1.
Spicy. And so if England and or Germany got through to the quarterfinal in Rome against presumably Sweden, do you either England or Germany take Sweden? Because Sweden, I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel Sweden's weaker than Germany. And I don't know they're necessarily weaker than England. I mean, they should be weaker than England, but I don't know if they are. That could be tight.
Yeah, that'll be a very different challenge. This is an even more tactically stable team that knows exactly who they are. And everybody plays a very, very specific role.
Yeah, I think Sweden will quite fancy that draw and getting either England or Germany. I do.
Yeah. I think, and talent, again, from a talent perspective, England and Germany are better than Sweden. It's just that, again, how much faith do you have in either managers and how much faith do you have on tactically how these teams come together?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Sweden are exactly who they are.
Yeah, they're very stable. They're a good unit. Okay, so the final bracket is, the first match is Budapest, Netherlands v Czech Republic. It'll be interesting. I think Netherlands should win that though. 1-0. But Netherlands are afraid. I mean, like, Netherlands are a bit like Germany, you know, England. I don't know. We'll see.
Netherlands has played better. They have a really, I'm wondering if how much they're playing, how much of this is to credit Frank de Boer, how much are they playing in spite of Frank de Boer? Because like Frank de Boer's results up to this point, up to the start of the tournament, has been shockingly horrific. I don't know if and his sort of hallmark is that he often get in his own way. This is as people who watch Major League Soccer, which is what Frank de Boer was coaching before he became the head coach of the Netherlands.
I mean, but then Czech Republic, I don't feel they're a good team. I genuinely don't. I don't think they're a good tournament team. I think
I don't know about tournament team. I mean, this specific Czech Republic team, I mean, they have some things going for it. The problem is, I don't know if their best traits are suitable for exploiting Netherlands'
weaknesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Netherlands actually match up really well against the Czech Republic.
This is another game that could go to like sort of 0-0 or 1-1 and end up on penalties, if I were to pick one.
If it goes into draw, I think it's something stupid like 3-3 or 4-4. It goes completely haywire if Netherlands do mess up. That in like if Netherlands wins, it's probably something like 2-0, 3-0. If they somehow mess up, it's like when the defense is suddenly just collapsed against the Czechs. They forgot to mark people in set pieces and all these dumb things, and then the Czechs somehow wind up a bunch of goals.
Indeed. And then the final match that we'll cover is actually the first one that will be played. So it's going to kick off in about an hour and a half. And that's Wales, mighty, mighty Wales, come on the boils, against Denmark, another slightly stealthy side. I think everyone in England will be very much supporting Wales as another home nations team. And everyone's just fallen in love with Aaron Ramsey. And yeah, I'd hope they'd win, but I don't think they necessarily will. But it could be close. I mean, Wales have really outperformed relative to what we all expected. And could be quite interesting.
I don't know. Again, I think Ramsey and Bale has somehow conjured their 2016 form, because like during their actual club seasons, they were not playing that well. I guess Bale kind of towards the end of the season, but definitely not Aaron Ramsey. Actually, I think one of the players that's been overlooked on Wales is Daniel James.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, he's been consistently a problem for every single team in that group. Hardworking, runs like a maniac, and he will be a persistent problem for Denmark in their wings. I think Denmark, it's really hard to sort of engage what kind of a team Denmark is after something like that. After the Ericsson collapse happened to them, so that game against Russia, I mean, they're better than Russia, but like their win against Russia was almost seen extraordinary.
But there is, it's in some ways, like tragedies like that can sometimes really spur a team to play for Ericsson, and then the fans are really behind them, and you just get a kind of a momentum that's hard to understate.
So that's the thing. Like Wales was a feel-good story in 2016. 2011, 2021, kind of, but like
not as much as Denmark.
No,
it's also being played in Amsterdam. One assumes there'll be a lot more Danish fans coming into Amsterdam because there won't
be
Welsh fans coming into Amsterdam.
Ericsson's original team.
Yeah,
Ajax. I think Denmark, if you just ignore sort of the narrative and just look at the team, Denmark is still pretty, I mean, they match up very well against even some of the better teams in the tournament.
Yeah, it's hot, yeah.
They lost Eriksen, which is a huge loss. Eriksen was is their best player. But his replacement, Christian Damsgaard, scored that absolute crazy goal against Russia to get things starting off.
But admittedly against Russia.
Sure, but 20 years old, brightest young talent I think in this tournament so far, other than maybe Spain's Pedri. I don't think Wales have played against a player like that. in any of their group stages. Not even really. I mean, Italy played a beast team, so that he like Wales didn't. And then and Switzerland, I guess Shaqiri, but Shaqiri was playing really, really meh that game.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you can have games that you really look forward to, like Belgium, Portugal, because actually they're both, I think, you know, classy teams. And then a game like Wales, Denmark, where I wouldn't say either of them is like classy, but it could be actually quite an interesting.
They're closely matched.
Right? Yeah,
and they have interesting players and. I think Wales are kind of like what Scotland wants to be, like some two or three class players, but the rest of functional players that fill their roles very well. I think the problem with Scotland is that they have a few players that just aren't international quality.
Yeah,
I'm still sort of amazed that Scotland managed to start that guy Lyndon Dykes or whatever his name is all three games, all 90 minutes, because he did absolutely nothing. Whereas Wales starts Kiefer Moore, who is. Yeah. Functional. He's not great, but he does his job. Mm. He does his job well. And they have superstars like Bale, and I guess Ramsey is one, the way he played in the group stages, and Daniel James and all these. It's a good team.
I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? Because whoever wins this bracket, so say Netherlands went through against Wales or Denmark, I mean, that it's not the hardest of draws, admittedly, in Baku. Mm-hmm. You could find yourself ending up in a semi-final and being like a Denmark or a Netherlands, which is kind of bizarre.
I guess. I mean, that's just
for Wales. You know, I mean, it's quite open, I feel.
That's how Wales got to the semifinals in the last Euro, right?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, someone's going to end up in the semifinals. He's basically not a brilliant team.
That's sort of the magic of tournament football. They always have. Yeah. There's always one or two surprises. If it's always just the same teams wins again, like the same best teams always beat the lesser teams, then the tournament turned out exactly how we predicted, and it's a really important tournament to me. the reason why we watch, like, especially watch tournaments like this, is because it has that potential of surprise. It's like,
I mean, it does mean you could potentially get England and Wales in a semi-final.
That would be hilarious.
I mean, I don't think it would just be so hilarious.
It could have
all the home nations. Like, Wales is the one we actually get on with. So.
I guess. Although I don't know if the Welsh fans would say the same thing about you.
Welsh don't hate us as much as the Scots. Definitely.
Probably not. Yeah, not. But like, they still see. It's. I mean, they still have kind of like. Also, they are still see England as their rival. I think in 2016 that game was also kind of spicy. Wales versus England.
Definitely rugby, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's sort of the magic. But yeah, I definitely agree. That's sort of the interesting part of the bracket. It's kind of like England in 2018 World Cup, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that team was very good, but they ended up in a very favorable draw, and that a bunch of teams that could potentially be there got cleared out, and then they ended up playing Colombia, Sweden, and then they lost to Croatia.
Yeah, which is fair play. We needed that help. I think everyone in England at the time recognized that we were performing better than we had any right to. So,
right. So that's another incentive for England if they can get past Germany.
Yeah, because actually that will be the next game is arguably less hard than beating Germany, I think, for many reasons. Although I could see us going out to a Sweden.
I mean, yeah, no, I mean, of course. Look, England went out to Iceland in the last year.
mighty Iceland.
this tournament bravado is something that, for some reason, this should be a very new thing. And even before the Iceland, they didn't even get out of the group stages in the last world in 2014 World Cup. 2012, who did they lose to? Doesn't matter. Point is, England is not a good tournament team usually.
Put way too much pressure on ourselves and the players, and we're too weighed down by history, which is why for us, I think I would have preferred us to play like France or Portugal, even better teams than Germany, because it's a game we're going to lose. On that happy note, we should wrap this up so I can go and edit and get this out before the round of 16 actually starts. Yeah,
sure.
Any other final predictions or things to look out for being from the round of 16?
Let's see. Ronaldo is now just need one goal to be the leader of the all-time leader of international goal scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if he can get another one against Belgium. I don't know. He has scored 3 penalties so far, so that's at least he's scoring penalties. Ongo is so far the top scorer. always a great player in tournaments, but outstanding this in this one.
Yeah.
And let's see if some of these other players can score penalties, because like over half of them have been missed so far in this tournament.
Yeah, it's been cagey, to use that great football expression or cliche. Well, it's been fun chatting with you, Bing, and yep. listener. Hope you're enjoying this. We're gonna try and do the same thing after the round of 16. Hopefully, Noah will be back, and we can chat about the forthcoming quarterfinals.
Yep.
And if you guys want to join the fantasy league, we're playing on the UEFA authorized fantasy league. So feel free to come join us, and you can see how shocking my performance has been. But with that, have a happy tournament, and we'll speak to you all soon. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.